Okay, how about I keep a groove like Keith Grisi going? Okay, what I did was I familiarized myself with playing with what I needed to play when we played the tune. We were playing it on the road live, and when we cut the track in the studio, it was all hand signals. Like on a cue, we went into this 1916 thing, and on another cue, we went into the 21, and on another cue, we did something else, you know. And I got to be honest with you, I just went for it, you know. I swear to God, I just went for it, you know. And I figured, well, you know, and you know, I didn't have an audience or nothing. Even though it didn't occur to me at the time that it was going to be documented, and God knows how many people are going to hear it, it just. Figured we're in the studio, if we make a mistake, we'll stop, you know, no big thing. No, we didn't, though. We just kept playing. And
we're here that you and Steve Smith used to practice together.
Oh, yeah.
How did you, like, practice together and push each other?
Smith and I, we used to practice all the time together, and, you know, I'd go over to his house, and we'd be out in his shed in the back, and we'd just, like, playing a ride cymbal. As fast as we could, all night long until somebody fell asleep and listened to McCoy Tyner records and listened to Tony, and we would just, like, listen to the records and just get off on what was happening, you know? You know, and just hear the guys playing. If Tony did something, you know, like, just one thing that killed us, you know? In 20 bars, we would just, like, die, and then we'd turn the thing back and listen to it over and over and do things like that. Or listen to the guys like Billy play, you know? Up-tempo just we would go nuts. So we just kind of tore it apart and listened to all our favorite things and played together, and just, it was great to have a friend like that I could share things with. And Steve has always been my good drum buddy. And we took lessons from Gary together. I mean, we at the same time, we decided that we wanted to take group lessons. So we even went that far, so that we teamed up together and we went and saw Gary at the same time, so three of us would be sitting in there, you know, and we had these group lessons, and Steve and I went, it was fun. It's a lot of fun. Yes?
What made you decide to leave Berkeley?
I'm sorry, make it one?
What made you decide to leave Berkeley?
The reason I left Berkeley was because I ran out of money. The only simple as that. And I wanted to go out and get a gig, because I come from kind of a scattered home situation, and I'm really kind of a nomad in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I didn't have any money, and I couldn't put myself through school, and my parents couldn't put me through school, unfortunately. And I changed from instrumental performance to composition in the second semester, and I wanted to keep going just to write, to learn how to write more. That's really what I wanted, because I was playing, and just being in the environment of the school was, you know, I had all the playing I could ask for, because there were so many wonderful musicians around, teachers and players and students. It was just a great atmosphere to be in. So I really wanted to get more writing, and I couldn't, so I had to leave. Yes? Yeah, I went to L.A. after I left school. I went to L.A. and I was just kind of struggling around for 4 months. And then I was playing with Tom Fowler. And Tom Fowler was the bass player. And he used to play with Frank. He played on the Roxy and Elsewhere record. And him and his brothers. And George Duke called him up and told him that Frank was looking for a rhythm section. So he told me that. And I called the office up and pestered him and told him I'd send him a tape. And they didn't want a tape for me. But one day they just called me up and said, okay, well, come down here and Mr. Zappa will listen to you on Wednesday night. So I showed up at this place called Culver City Studios, a huge movie studio. You know, like one of those, you know, those huge sound stages they have at studios. I don't know if you've ever been to those tours, but in Hollywood they have a ton of them, you know. And so I went there and just, I said, oh man, you know, there was like all these drummers, and I just went for it. I shot my shot, you know. This is it. Do or die for me. Sink or swim. Here I go. And Joe's Garage, wait one second. Joe's Garage happened as an accident. We went in to cut one single, one tune, and we were in there for a month. In fact, there was a group called Group 87 that I was supposed to go up north and record with at the time. And, you know, Mark Isham and Patrick O'Hearn and those guys. And O'Hearn was calling me up saying, can we, you know, go up and do this record? I said, well, I'm still in here with Frank, you know? But we're still in here, you know. So Bozio ended up doing it. And Bozio and Ahern were cronies from Frank's days anyway. So it was good that they hooked up, you know. And they were used to playing together. And it worked out really great for them. And it worked out great for me because I, you know, got to do the Jazz Garage thing. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes here.
You and C said together with Gary, what kind of stuff did you work on? I go to him now, and I can't really imagine having two people in there. What kind of stuff did
you
make you guys do?
With Gary?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what we did was Gary looked at us and approached us as individuals for what we were, and he knew the kind of stuff we worked on was... It's hard to describe. It's like Gary knew that we understood where he was coming from, so he wasn't afraid to take liberties with us. And he could see our styles of playing, and he could see that Steve and I were assimilating information together, and we were converging this information between us. And we worked on things that, see, the stuff that is in his kind of curriculum or his method now was just being formed then. So we were also springboards for him. So we just kind of tossed information around. I mean, we would just go in, and Gary would put on a Tony Williams record, and just would listen. Then we'd take it from there, you see. Or he'd just have someone written down, and we'd just take something, and just okay, where are we going to go with this now, you know? Or he would just, like, you know, lay stuff on us, and you know, anything could happen, really. So it was a very open-ended kind of give and take situation in our lessons, and it was really, really creative that way. It was very creative. It wasn't cut and dry. It was real creative. I loved it. Yes, unfortunately, Steve and I can't record it in time because our schedules were too busy. So the great thing is that Gary and Jonathan Moover are going to record it, and I think it's going to be in some kind of a sound sheet. I don't know. There's a chance that could happen. So, we'll see. But, you know, it should be documented in some way. And I would love to see Gary do it and perform it, because I think he needs to be heard more anyway by the public. I'm going to try... I hope this tape works. I haven't done any sound check at all, but I have something here that I'm going to try to just play along with. And... I don't know how to work this thing. Oh, eject, okay? Yeah. Is this thing on?
You didn't get on until 11:35.
Are you hearing that? Okay, I don't think I have it in the monitor. So can you give it to me? We're going to have to call it quits. So, hey, thanks for bearing with me. And I want to say one thing real quick before I play, because we've really got to get kind of short here. I'm really grateful for all of you for appreciating me for what you saw today, because I really felt insecure when I walked on the stage. And I just finished a clinic tour, 2 weeks in Europe, and I had some good nights and I had some bad nights, you know. But overall, I felt pretty good, you know. I felt like my chops felt good, and today it was really hard for me, you know, because I went to school here, and you know, just to get up here without sufficient warm up and kind of make mistakes, and having you people appreciate me for what I am, I'm very grateful for that. And I'm really, really appreciate that you can look at that and get something out of it, you know. So I really hope that I could provide some insights to you and some entertainment as well, you know, in some way.
Yeah.
I wish you could be seeing me at my best. I'm not trying to make excuses. I really mean that.
You are the best.
Yeah! Yeah! Woo!
And, thank my wife Darlene. She's sitting up in the balcony. And really, I don't want to give some kind of, you know, speech. Here he goes now. She's a little thing he broke down in the dressing room before we're on stage. I really mean this. I sincerely mean it. For being such a great human being, because she really has to put up with a lot with me, let me tell you. I'm not the easiest person to get along with, you know. I'm kind of moody, you know, and temperamental and insecure and all that. And I appreciate it very much, you know. And also, you know, to the Berklee College of Music for being probably the best institution of its kind, you know, I'm sure. And I certainly learned a lot while I was here, and I'm really glad to see that it's continuing in the tradition. And I really wanted to tell everybody, I want to extend my sincere appreciation to the Evita Zildjian Cymbal Company. And I think that all businesses and all people should take a lesson from the Zildjian Cymbal Company as human beings and as businessmen, because it would be enough if they only made the best cymbals in the world. It would be enough. But they don't stop, because I've been associated with them for several years now, and I've got to tell you that they're the best people that I've ever dealt with, and they really recognize human beings for what they are, and they're real, real warm human beings. And I really think that everybody should take a lesson from that, because they're incredible people. And Armin and his wife, and Lenny DiMuzio and Carlin, and to Zildjian International over in England, are some of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life, and some of the warmest human beings. And I want to extend all my love and gratitude to them, sincerely, because they really are the best. And I think they set an example for everybody. Thanks very much. Thank you all very much for your kindness, and I hope this tape works, so I'm going to try to play one little tune for you here. I don't deserve it. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I really appreciate you guys. Thanks so much. Did you hear music? Oh, great. That's my feeble attempt at trying to impersonate Chick Corea. Yeah. Thanks a lot, you guys. I really appreciate it. Hey, listen, could we give a big round of applause to Lenny DiMuzio tonight? Because it's his birthday. I want to say happy birthday, Elias. Happy birthday to him. Take care and have a nice day. Thanks so much for attending.